Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday afternoon, it's Shelly Nunchuck from the Shelly Nunchuck Show with my furball co-host Jackie Chan Kitty. And it looks like it's going to be a wonderful day out, and I kind of broke my rules today. I actually took a shower before the show. Usually I'm getting everything set for the show and make sure everything's running proper, because as far as I know, with Adobe Flash Player, sometimes it gets all funky, and I want to make sure everything's going right, because I always, you know, just like my household, inviting a guest onto my show is like inviting someone into my household. So that's how I treat my guests. But it does look like a beautiful day out. Yes, I know. Hope all those, well, it depends on your time zone, because I'm on the East Coast. It's standard Eastern time, noon. And wherever you are, I know I have some of my peeps sometimes from the UK listening, sometimes in China, and other places, Netherlands, England. All you peeps out there over in Asia that are listening, thank you so much. Thank you for supporting me for the last couple of years, and other people that I'm trying to get on the show. Dawn the Dragon Wilson will let me know. I'm in contact with a couple of people, and if you people out there that are listening, tuning in, everybody that's in the chat room, thank you. Welcome to the show. And trying to get Don the Dragon Wilson. He's been out of the U.S., so he's actually, I guess, been doing films and other things, and I think he's might be training for another fight. It's quite possible. We can ask him the questions when he does come on to the show. And trying to get other people. I know people have been bothering me about the lead star from American Ninja, the cult classic from Michael Dudikoff, that lead, hopefully trying to get him on the show. But, you know, people have very busy schedules, so patience. Good things come to those that wait. Anyway, my special guest is calling in from Utah. His name is Ken Applegate, and I'm going to bring up his bio here. Now, as far as I know about Ken, I know he's doing a lot of other things, but from what I know with Ken, I know him from the hit web series, which is going to be converted to a TV series at Day Zero, and he's one of the leads in it. And I'll be talking about that first and find out more about him. But with Ken's bio, this is Ken Applegate's bio. He was born in Virginia and raised in the Philippines for 18 years. He moved to Utah and have been there ever since. He started acting in commercials and doing print ads in the Philippines between 14 and 18 years old. And when he got to Utah, he stopped all that, got married, and now has 5 kids. Wow, this man is a busy, busy man. He's got a lot of things on his plate here. And it says here, he tried to get back into acting over the years about 3 different times, and the timing wasn't there. Plus, he didn't feel great about how he looked because he was also 270 pounds of unhealthy weight. And he finally started up again 3 years ago when he was more confident, having shed 70 pounds, and the timing was right in other aspects of his life. He's done numerous short films and indie films, along with plenty of commercials in Utah, and enjoyed every gig he got. He loves networking with people and getting to know their story, and he continually takes classes to improve his craft, and he loves knowing how to tell a story better in ways would have thought of. So there's his bio, and he will be calling in a few minutes. And he seems pretty interesting, and, you know, he seems like, you know, very intelligent. And from what I was seeing, and I have to admit, on Day Zero, when it first started, you know, you have to give something a chance because a lot of people, they're thinking with Day Zero, zombies and stuff. It had nothing to do with zombies, really. I mean, they were kind of like hybrids. But you have to give the actors a chance because even myself, when I first looked at it, I'm sitting there going, you know, how is this going to play out? So I watched the whole series of Day Zero. Close to the end, you saw the characters growing. Even Ken's character was growing more and more. And even as you see with the second season, I don't know where you can watch. I'll have to ask. Maybe Ken would know where you could see the second season, the first episode. They took a hiatus, but they will be, you know, bringing that to TV and such. So I'm just going to open up here. I do have the chat room open, so anybody that's in the chat room, welcome, welcome, welcome. And Ken will momentarily, he will be calling in a few minutes, and I do welcome him. And I do ask that anybody that does call in to the to call in to ask questions of Ken, like any of my guests, I do ask that you do respect my guest. I do not take crap from anyone. This is not like a Howard Stern type of show. You know, it's about the person's intelligence, about what they have to bring in their dreams and such. And just like I always say, if you have a dream, you're as good as anybody else. You know, you just try for it, and that's all you have to do. So, you know, I tend to think, I tend to think where I'm living in Maine, and of course, you know, as you hear with my accent, I am originally from Boston, born and bred and right, and I'm not talking about like Cambridge and stuff. I'm talking about I've lived in many cities of Boston, so if you hear my accent, it's very thick. Now you know why. So let's move on about the accent thing, okay? But I moved up in Maine, and I tend to think that Utah and Maine might have similar things because there's a lot of mountains. The air is clearer. So I'm just sitting there. I'm probably going to ask Ken how it is in Utah there. So it must be very beautiful because of the mountain range in some places. I've never been to Utah. I actually don't know too much about Utah, but the thing is, because people say, keep an open mind. Honest to goodness, I would never even have been looking at films. I never heard of any of the films in Utah. But trying to have an open mind, and everybody's talking about Sundance Film Festival and all that stuff out there. I personally, you know, you all know, I'm the action chick. I'm not really into a lot of other films. But I started, like, learning, opening my mind, learning about other films. And really, people, in the independent community in Utah, there really are great films there. And I'm looking more and more, and I'm hoping to bring more of Utah people on my show. I have to set up a schedule, and like any other place of independent films, and I think it's great for us to reach out to each other to support each other, because we are the little people that are struggling. And a lot of independent people that are making films, a lot of times the money is coming out of their own pockets. They don't have big, you know, blockbuster budgets, so they work with whatever means they can get. And a lot of times, a lot of independent people, they actually, you know, they're actually supporting themselves, supporting a family, and they're doing acting. So believe me, I know how hard it is to be part of the independent film community. So let's see. There is a caller in the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, this might be the man of the hour. Hold on. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. Hey, this is
Hi,
Ken Applegate.
Hey, Ken. How are you doing?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. It's beautiful. How is it in Utah? How's the weather there?
It is beautiful right now. It's been really, really hot for the summer. I hate the summers here because it's too hot, 104, 103 degrees. But today it's beautiful. It's about 75 or so. It's pretty good.
Nice.
But,
I'm going to have to get out myself. I'm like, I'll have to come to Utah. Maybe someday I'll move out there. I mean, it seems like a wonderful place to live.
It is. You know, I love the seasons. The four seasons are the thing I love. I love the change of the seasons, I should say. The middle of summer, I could do without. You know, for that middle of summer, I could, you know, get out of here for about a month and I'll be fine. It's the change of seasons from summer to fall. Fall to winter. The middle of winter, we could do without too, but you know.
Yeah. I think I feel you on that because Maine is really cold. It's like moving to the North Pole up here.
I swear.
I think we both suffer in the same thing. We both, you know, I think it's kind of like, you know, there's mountains here, and I know like in Utah there's mountains, and I have to admit something about, you know, Utah, because I was just mentioning before I'd watch one. Now, I'm an action chick type of girl. I mean, I like some chick, you know, some chick flicks. And I never really gave a thought to Utah film community. And everybody was like, you know, Shelly, you try to be open-minded about certain things. And I know Sundance is out there, but, you know, I don't think they gave that much, props to a lot of action films. But I think things are slowly changing, and I have to admit, if it wasn't because of Day Zero, I would never be looking at any other films in the Utah community. And because of that series that you're in, I'm like, wow, Utah has a lot of great independent filmmakers. And knowing that, you know, I first wanted to talk about Day Zero, and then we want to see about your other films. But first, if we can, I mean, if there's anything you don't want me to talk about, just say, okay, I want to stop, but... because it was saying in your bio, and I read it, that you're originally from the Philippines. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Okay. So when you came here, right, did you know any English whatsoever? I mean, were you speaking, I think it's called, if I'm saying this correctly, is it called Tagalog in the Philippines? Were you speaking here?
It's actually called Tagalog, yes. I was speaking,
okay.
I grew up speaking that, but I also grew up speaking English. A lot of the people there, you'll be surprised, they do speak English. I mean, it's, you know, heavily accented English, but English nonetheless. My mom is Filipino, and and my father actually is from Wyoming, and he is an Army brat, too. So he grew up overseas, but, I heard both English and Tagalog being spoken in the home. I actually speak one other dialect in the Philippines. The Philippines has about 200 different dialects. And it's been a long time. It's been years since I moved from there. I get some practice every now and then, but mostly, you know, bless my mom's heart. Mostly my siblings and I make fun of her accent all the time because we just love to do it.
Oh, that's me. Your mother could probably stink your bottom still.
You know, I know it. But you know, we do it in front of her. And she gets a good kick out of it. So it's something that, you know, I mean, you know, we do it out of the goodness of our hearts, I'm sure.
Oh, wow. You're a brave man.
I know this. But my siblings would agree. It's it's all out of love. We don't do that of meanness or anything like that. But it's fun. It's growing up in that culture is completely different. I mean, you know, we went to an international school, so we would hobnob with all the kids from, you know, ambassadors' kids and foreign dignitaries who went to that same school.
I totally understand the Asian culture. Oh my gosh, I'm just like,
yeah.
You know, I'm a big, you know, the film, even the filming is different, is over there. It's like they're crazy, just absolutely nuts. It's like the rules are different here, you know, than in other countries, and they seem to, like, you know, with action stuff, they seem to be more free to be able to do things. It's all different here, but to get to first about your life and then get into films. Now,
sure.
It says that you had taken a break, and you had taken a break, got married, and you have 5 children. Now, how on the earth do you have time, because you have 5 children, how do you get to act? Because you must have a full plate on your hands.
You know, I kind of do, but the thing of it is that I found kind of this. When I was doing the typical 9-to-5 job, you know, trying to climb the corporate ladder, doing different kinds of jobs in that realm, trying to do that kind of thing, it was draining for me. I did that for 15 years, trying to do that. I hated it. And, you know, I'm more of an independent type of person, you know. And so the thing of it is especially when I started acting, went back to it, think of it as, I love my children, so I have a lot of passion for them and for raising them. To me, it's not work. It's really hardly any work. I'm a very active father, very involved, but it's not a lot of work because I have a lot of passion for it. The same thing with acting. I'm not going to say it's not hard work. There's a lot of work involved, but I'm very passionate about it as well. So I don't see it as work. It's not draining to me. The same thing when I do my health seminars. I'm very passionate about that, so I don't see that as work. So I guess the underlying theme here is that I'm passionate about all the things that I'm doing. So it doesn't, you know, it may seem like I have a full plate, but because I have that passion, it energizes all the things that I do, and I get energy from it. It doesn't take energy away from me. Does that make sense to you?
I understand it. It's like when you love what you're doing, you keep going. I don't know where you get the energy from, and I totally get that, because I would rather be doing something I love for the rest of my life and making a decent amount of money, or having it as a hobby, you know, something that's in your heart and you're passionate about and able to do it. Because if you really think of it, society is programmed to be a certain way. And anybody that's artistic or anything like that, when you do something that you love, people kind of look at you strange, unless you're in the community, you know, like in a regular job. You know, society is like, you kind of feel like an outsider. You know, you go to a regular job.
Go get a real job or something, right, you know?
Yes.
I know what you mean.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard because you have this passion. And I think having passion in something keeps you younger. Believe me, I know that. And it's like, it does help. And I think that's the fountain of youth. When you have passion, it's going to keep you going. And, you know, with the passion with acting, you know, how did you get the acting bug? Did you first start out in acting or something else?
You know, when I was in the Philippines, for about 4 years, from the ages of 14 to 18 years old, I got into it. We had, there was actually a talent scout over there, scouted our whole family out, actually, and got our whole family into commercials. That's kind of how we got into acting, commercials and print ads and modeling and that kind of thing over there. Nothing really to do with movies. I don't think we ever touched that realm when we were over there. It's mostly commercials and print ads. And then I came over here. So I really knew nothing about the movie making part of all of it, of acting. It was just all, you know, on the commercial side of things. But then I got over here. I looked into it a little bit, and I didn't really have the passion for it as soon as I came over here, so I stopped doing that, got married, had all the kids. But then I started having the passion or the bug for it again about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I started to try to get into it a few times. The timing wasn't right, but it was you know, it still kept gnawing at me, like, you need to do this. This is mm-hmm. your realm. And then I, 3 years ago, you know, it caught on really hard, and the timing was right. And, you know, it's just ever since then, I felt so good, so energized about everything that I've started to do, networking with people. Everything just became very effortless as soon as the timing was right. And, you know, that's how I got into the acting bug is really just getting into extra work, you know, doing work as an extra, networking with the people in that, you know, on set, and just talking with people. And it's been that way, just networking the heck out of it and getting to know people's stories, getting to know, you know, acting coaches and other actors, getting to know the industry here in Utah and how it works. And it's been quite successful since then. I've been thinking about, you know, branching out and, you know, looking at L.A. and looking outside of Utah just to see what's there. Haven't mm-hmm. really taken that step yet. I've kind of looked at it and talked to some people who are living out in L.A., kind of seeing how, you know, how difficult it is or how not difficult it is. Do I have to go live out there? And I've just been asking all those typical questions of the, you know, of people who are wanting to look out to the direction of Hollywood. So I'm in that kind of in that phase right now, thinking about it, but still working here a lot.
Mhm. And it's something where I think from what I know, some people sometimes telecommute from like Utah. You guys are a lot closer than me, so
yeah.
It's like Utah. You know, plane ticket for me it's probably more expensive for me, but you guys are closer, so forth can worse. You guys could drive there. I mean, I don't
yeah.
know how many miles is it, but it's a lot closer.
Yeah.
You're on the other side.
Yeah, it's about 650, 700 miles or so one way. So it's a 10-hour drive one way. You know, and
yeah.
I actually back in June I went 2 weekends in a row to take some acting workshops out there just to get a feel for it. I'm excited about it, but I'm just also trying to feel out the right time too. So
yeah.
At least have a taste for kind of how the people are there. It seems a little bit rushed. Everything's very rush paced. It seems like, you know, but I want to do it right. You know, I want when I get out there, I want to do it right. I want to make sure the timing is right. And make it work really well. You know, the one thing I took away from one of the workshops there, his name is Ty Harmon. He's one of the casting directors over there. He casts. He does a lot of one of the things. I think Warehouse 13, I believe. He does
uh-huh.
a lot of casting for that, and a few other mm-hmm. big shows like that. And one of the things that I took away from what he was talking about, he says, you know what, there long enough in this industry and you'll make it. So, you know, as long as you don't quit, as long as you're professional, as long as you're not, you know, a jerk, as long as you stick in there, do the work and just be persistent, he says, you're going to make it. That's what he was telling everybody. Now he was telling at the same time, you know, now there are some people who are not meant to be in this industry. You know, he says, if you have a passion for something greater than acting, he says, please go do that and don't be in this industry. He was very blunt about that.
Yeah,
he
is definitely right. You are right on the nose on that, because people are so, I don't know if you want to say the word is jealousy or just want to knock you down, because when you're in your flow, I think it's either like, I don't know what you can call it. I mean, I don't know if you've experienced that. I think we all have, if it is a jealousy thing or people don't want to see you succeed. But if you're doing what you love, it's not about the money. You are successful. So it seems like, as of right now, Ken, you are a very successful man. I'm telling you from what I'm seeing, because to get into your acting, verse, I wanted to bring up about Day Zero, which, congratulations. And I'm so thrilled, because watching the series, and I'm honest. I try to be as honest as I can, and not as blunt as other people, but I try to be honest, because
sure.
when I first watched Day Zero, and I was thinking, okay, this is a web series. Let's see how this is going to go. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep open-minded, because you guys are all new actors, and I'm in the independent realm myself, you know, trying to do stuff for myself. And I was like,
sure.
at first, I was like, okay, you know, started to watch the first episode. I was like, oh, all right, I'm going to stick with it. But getting to see the characters, your characters, each and every one of you grew on me. At first, I was like, okay, you know, let's see. You know, I wasn't too sure. But closer to the end, you guys grew. You grow as, yeah, like, a family, like a stage family, if you want to say it, or, you know, that a film family started growing at, yeah, the end. And even seeing in the first episode of the second season, you guys have gotten so much better. And
yes,
I just want to know, you know, how did you, I mean, I know you had to audition for it. So what made you go for Day Zero? Was it the plot itself? I mean, what made you go audition for Day Zero?
You know, that's an interesting question. I don't know if you know much of the background about Day Zero and kind of how that was, how that came to be. It was originally Cal, you know, Cal Nguyen.
Yeah.
Of course, he got the script and everything. He actually got, I would say, bought the rights for it or got the rights for it. I'm not sure exactly the transaction, how that worked. But the idea of it came from, I believe, a BYU student, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to remember that right. And Cal can, of course, reprimand me or correct me, but I believe how it worked.
Right. Yep.
And they did an initial pilot of it, and Cal was in it. And, you know, they did an initial pilot, so I saw kind of how the very first, filming of it was being done. I was very interested in it, and I thought to myself, okay, this is good. I like the idea of it. I auditioned originally for this way back when it was not even in Cal's hands. And I hadn't heard from it for a long time, and I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm just not going to even think about it. And then the auditions came up again. This time it was in Cal's hands, and I thought, okay, you know, I'll go for this again. I like the idea of this. I like the idea of, you know, What do people do if they're the only people left? And I've thought about this myself. So for me, it kind of reached out to me because I was like, you know, I've thought about this myself. I've had the imaginations run wild in my mind about, okay, what if there was only a handful of people left on the earth? What would we do? What kind of mentality or psychological damage does that do when there's only a handful left of people left on the earth? Not, and to boot, now this is the part I didn't fathom, you know, you got hybrids running all over the place, you know, mm-hmm, threatening your life all the time. You know, that's, of course, something that I'd never thought about. So to get into that I thought it would be interesting to get into the character of that. What would I do in that situation? What would I do? What would Russell Braddock do in that situation, being alone, thinking he's the only person left? Finding people, the whole story to me was just captivating. I have a very active imagination, very vivid imagination, and to me to portray that and have that translate onto the screen, I love the challenge of it, but I love feeling it more than anything else. And to me, this was calling out to me, like, you know, I was feeling the scenes, I was feeling the story, and so that's really what got me interested into auditioning for it. I didn't know where it was going to go. I have no idea. And then, you know, it's gone as far as it has. And I'm actually quite honored and quite proud to be part of it. And I'm really, really excited to see, you know, what it's going to do from here on, too. I mean, again, to see how it's gone so far and to see where it's going to go from here. So that's pretty much how I got into it, auditioning for it.
Yeah, you guys really surprised me because, seriously, there's so many web series out there that I've watched, and I'm going, I know it's independent, but it's like you want to see people give more. And
yes,
like I said, you guys really did that. You guys went beyond and you grew. And I think that's what it is because I think, you know, I don't know how you guys get to rehearse or rehearse with each other. I mean, I know how it goes. Sometimes you don't rehearse with anybody. You show up and you do your lines. So
right,
it's really hard to have a connection because people live in different places. And then you show up on set and, you know, all that rehearsing you're doing by yourself. So
yep,
with you and Kat, right, I think that's her name, Kat,
yep,
I think it's Emily,
uh-huh,
and you to
Emily,
have
uh-huh,
that relationship, yeah, she, you know, to have a relationship with her, it's kind of hard because you have to do it on set, and it's supposed to, you know, there's a little bit romance, but it's kind of sweet because it's not so over the top where it's your Day Zero, it doesn't have all this to do with sex. So it's
right,
kind of, it shows a couple, and it's like, it's really nice to see that for a change. And I really like that, like a little bit of romance, and then, you know, the hybrid, and it's like the last one from season, you know, to the first episode, I was excited. The gunfire and the new people coming in, I was blown away. I said, you guys really got me, and I was like, I'm falling in love with the show more, and I hope you guys continue with it, bring a little bit of action, and, you know, I'm just excited. I'm very excited for you, and I wish you guys blessings with that show. I hope it just becomes so successful for you guys, and I want to see it more. I'm addicted. It's like a bag of chips. So I really am addicted to it. So, you know, I really wish you guys, you know, the best in that show. I hope it, you know, becomes a huge success.
Oh, thank you. I know it. That's you know, again, it's just the, especially with the pilot of season two, you know, Cal's got on some really talented people, especially to do the camera work and such things. I've worked with this gentleman before, Denver. Denver Howard. He is extremely talented. I've worked with him on several other projects. But, you know, that's just, we're growing. And that's the point of this whole thing. We're growing. We're getting better. It's creating more of a following. And, yeah, I mean, I thank you for that. I really praying for the success of this. You just never know. You know, something that I don't know if you're familiar with who Jeff Johnson is. Jeff Johnson is casting director here in Utah. He's cast so many different movies out there. You know, all the High School Musical movies and a whole bunch of others as well. World's Fastest Indian, too many to mention. But one of the things that he said is that you don't know. Nobody in this business knows who's going to make it big and what's, you know, what projects or what videos or what films are going to go big. You don't know which are going to go viral. And that's been an important lesson for me, because that helps me to keep an open mind about everything. You know, audition for everything and go for everything. You just don't know. You know, and it's that's also a good way for me to practice auditioning and practice my craft and just keep going at it and just keeping going, you know, and as I go along, I know I'm going to get better. I know my value better. I know what I'm going to do and not to do, you know. It's really been
that.
Helpful.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did see that. I mean, I don't know the other projects, and we'll bring that up in a minute, but just seeing the little bit, because you're still very young. I mean, I could be wrong about your age, but you look very young to me. You look leading man material by looks alone, and just seeing that, I hope you become successful in what you do in your acting. I hope you really get leading man roles, and I really do another thing that's really cool is, like, when you know another language. And, I mean, I don't know how it is out in Utah, because I've lived in the inner cities and such, and just that you have this little something where you have, you know, about another language. So that could be an asset for a film. You know, you could be talking in a whole other language, so that you could have above someone else. And I think that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. I've thought about that, too. I've thought about internationally. I've seen all these movies made internationally as well, you know, and I like watching foreign movies, even though I don't understand the language necessarily. You know, I'll watch Korean movies or Japanese movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to me. This is a huge lesson to me. Is that if I am able to understand the story somewhat, even though I don't understand the language, I mean, that's how I know the acting is really well, you know, really good. Is that the acting itself is portraying the language without you having to understand necessarily what they're talking about. I just like to see how people do things. And, you know, of course, growing up internationally, I see that already. I understand the mentalities and different cultures that go around, different mindsets that people have. But, yeah, it's been such a powerful experience, you know, growing up internationally like that, knowing another language. One of the things that has stuck with me growing up was one quote, no one language contains all knowledge. And so, you know, to me that helps me understand, like, I want to be able to, you know as much as possible about a language, learn as much. My father, for example, and I'm kind of jealous of this. My father, he speaks German, French, Vietnamese, Italian. And I'm like, you didn't teach me any of those growing up. Why not? You know? But, anyway, that's, you know, that's something to me. My father's brilliant, extremely brilliant.
That's awesome to know many different languages. And I, you know, what's funny, because what you mentioned about in the Philippines, all about the dialects, and oh, I wanted, I was like, I love Asian culture. And I was like, yeah, I want to learn Chinese. And they go, well, what, you know, what dialect do you want? And I didn't understand. And I go, what? Like, there's Mandarin and Cantonese, and even even within that, there's other, you know, type of languages in that. And I'm going, man, it's going to take a lot to learn another language.
Oh, it is. You know, it is. You know, and again, learning the mentality from my mother, too. I mean, she speaks a couple of dialects and everything else. And there's a different, you know, it's the mindset. There's learning the language, but there's also learning the whole mindset, the way of thinking of each of these cultures that blows me away, you know. I mean, out here in Utah, you got people going off and they go to different countries all the time. You know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the subculture here. But the dominant religion here, they have their kids go out as missionaries when they're about between 19 and 21 years old, and they go off into different countries. They learn these languages, and they go off and they submerge themselves, immerse themselves for about a year and a half, 2 years, to learn the language, but to learn the culture and talk to the people. I mean, to me, and they bring it all back here to Utah when they come back, and I find that truly enriching to the Utah culture, something that not a lot of people know about. Either is when they come back here, they just enrich the culture. This if you haven't been to Utah, it is, you know. Again, I've traveled, you know, all throughout Asia, all throughout Europe. I'm fairly well traveled, but to come back here to Utah, there's something special about this place, really, really special, that draws a lot of people together. You know, you almost have to kind of be here to feel that energy, to feel the chemistry. Even though there's a predominant religion here, there's still an acceptance of a lot of other religions. There's still an acceptance of a whole bunch of nationalities. There's a lot that, you know, and every place is going to have, you know, people who complain about the places and things of that nature, and that's a given. People are going to have their own quirks and reasons for complaining or whatever the case is, you know. But I like to appreciate everything.
I'm going to have to, with what you're telling me and stuff, you're like, you're selling me on moving out to Utah. I'm serious because I want to go. I have priority here. I have to finish a couple of films here and stuff. And then it's like, after that, I just can't picture myself staying in Maine for the rest of my life. I mean, it's beautiful and stuff, but I just feel like I belong somewhere else. And I know that, but now you're selling me on Utah, so I'm just like, who knows? And it's like, I'm trying to connect with people out in Utah, and, you know, I personally would love to start, like, an action thing going. I mean, Utah, I don't really hear too much, like, a lot of stunt teams and everything like that, and people that may be different backgrounds and get more into action. Because there's not really, I mean, if you really think about it, I don't hear a lot of action things coming out of Utah. And to start something there where there's not really that capacity for it, I mean, maybe there is, but I don't live there, so I don't know too much about Utah, so I don't know. But I think that would be nice to start something there. But to get more into your filming stuff, because I know you're probably really busy today, and I just wanted to take a little bit more of your time. And what other projects besides Day Zero have you been working on, and what are you working on now, and what are you working on in the future?
You know, since I've started, I've been involved on a consistent basis, it seems, in about, on average, maybe about four, five projects at a time, at any given time. You know, there's been other web series that I've done too. One is called Off Broadway. It's kind of filmed after. It's not action whatsoever, but it's kind of filmed after the manner of The Office, you know, kind of that kind of humor, that kind of, behind the scenes workings of, you know, a Broadway show, you know, so stage actors. This is how that web series is going. Anyway, that's all been filmed. That's been on the web for a while. But there's some other films as well. I got done with filming a couple of films that are going to be showing at the Salt Lake Comic Con coming up here in the next month.
Nice.
So, you know, those are going to be shown there. One is The Question, based off of The Question, and then the other one is Fire Witch, There's a few screenings that I'm going to be going to next week for those that I just got done as well. You know, there's a lot of commercial work that I do out here as well. I do a lot of commercials and some print ads, so I'm busy with those. Those are always good bread and butter. There are quite a few big movies that come out here. You know, the movies that come out of Hollywood, there are quite a few that get filmed out here. Quite a lot of Disney films as well film out here too. So I get my kids involved with the Disney stuff, you know, when I can. Let's see here. There's one film that's been on hold for a bit. I'm not sure that I can talk about it really, actually, so I'm not going to.
Okay, just talk about what you can. I don't want you to get into any trouble here.
No, that's perfectly fine. There's a couple films. So anyway, I'll leave that. Those are both feature-length films. There's some big names attached to those, but I really can't talk about them. But other than that, you know, we've got again commercials, the web series, the independent films, the short films. We get, you know, I do the short films as well every now and then, just to stay loose, to see what's out there. I'm out here. I'm also constantly taking classes too. I have an acting coach as well, and take classes from him. But I've also taken classes from very many other people here, just to also know the industry, to know other people that are out there. You wouldn't believe how many times I'll go out and network with people, and all of a sudden I'm getting a call a few days later or a few weeks later, having them say, "Hey, I want you to be in my project. Can you be in my project?" Or, "Hey, can you do this commercial?" Where I don't have to audition anymore. That's the best compliment. You know, if they've seen my work,
awesome.
I don't have to audition. Yeah, and they straight book me, and I love doing that. And I would love to continue doing that, of course. But you know, gaining that exposure, just being out there. So as far as the projects I'm working on, again, it's a few short films that are out there, but those two big feature films that are in the works as well. And I'm constantly auditioning for whatever's out there. I'm also going to be looking more to submitting for what's out there in Hollywood, auditioning out there, and you know, getting set up out there as well. I think I want to start doing that, going out there maybe once a month, a couple times a month, or however much is needed for me to audition for roles out there too.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question, because
yeah.
I know with dreams and stuff, it's very hard, because it says there was a point, it was kind of almost like you had taken a hiatus, I think because you had gained weight and such like that. How did you handle it? Because when you're not doing your passion, to me, what happens to me, I feel like a little part of me dies inside, because I've had bumps in the road where I was stalled and I was like, oh, I feel like I'm dying. It's practically, you feel like you're mourning. How did you get to a point to get back to your happiness? Because you must have been, you got to admit, if you're at a certain point, you're not doing what you love, you must kind of be a little bit depressed. So how did you get back to let people know that are, you know, not having a good day? How did you get to a point to get back to your happiness?
You know, that's a great, great question. Something I've been thinking about. I consistently think about this kind of thing, how I can, you know, kind of just adjusting myself every single day, adjusting myself to see, okay, am I being happy? Am I choosing to be happy? What's dragging me down? Back then, here's a little background, just to get a little bit personal, but not too much. When I was younger, I actually left home when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Now you think,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, you're 18, you know, you can leave home. I didn't leave under the best of circumstances. You know, it could have been better. I left home abruptly. Nobody knew where I was for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I ended up leaving the Philippines and then coming over to Utah. And my parents find out a few days later I'm in Utah. You know, that kind of a thing. I know. I'm a horrible son. But, you know, hopefully all is forgiven. And, you know, if kids ever do that to me, I'll understand that it's just karma. But anyway, so the thing of it is that, you know, there was a lot of reasons. So growing up in the third world country, growing up witnessing a lot of people go without, and then coming over here, okay, and seeing a lot of waste going on, you know,
mm-hmm.
Waste of food, waste of a lot of things. I had the mentality of not wasting anything. I started eating you know, the food here is a lot richer, of course. I started eating more, but at the same time, I also was, like, out of my house, so it was out of rebellion, too. So there was two things going on. You know, I was rebelling. I was like, I'm out of my house. I can do what I want. I'm going to get fat. Well, that wasn't my reasoning, but I just ate what I wanted. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I also didn't want to waste any kind of food. It's kind of like, you know what, I'm stuffed, but hey, I can't waste this food, so I'm just going to continue eating it. You know, the thought or the idea of leftovers never occurred to me in my mind. Growing up, we didn't have leftovers. You know, it was always eaten. There was no such thing as leftovers. You know, so the idea of leftovers never occurred until it was way too late. Oh, you mean I could have put that in the fridge for later? You know, it's like, okay. This is growing up in a different culture. This is some of the things I have to, make, you know, kind of get rid of. But there was also some emotional baggage there too. You know, I mean, kind of leaving my family was, there was some sadness there. I had some emotional issues that I had to deal with. I wasn't dealing with the emotional issues too well. I used food to deal with those emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't happy, so I was trying to fill whatever void there was. So I used food for many different reasons, for rebelling. You know, for not wanting to waste, for emotional comfort, for comfort foods. I was using foods for all kinds of reasons, and that's how I gained all my weight. And so I wasn't dealing with being happy or trying to be happy in the right way. I was using food. Now, I didn't care either. For the longest time, I didn't care. I looked the way I looked. I didn't care. Then I started getting sick. I started having health problems. You know, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, you know, other things that I don't really necessarily should mention on the radio. But anyway.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
You know, there was just other things going on there that I was, like, not feeling good about. And so, you know, then I started getting ridiculed for my appearance, too, you know, at work, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So I was getting worse and worse. You know, I was getting angrier. I was getting more sad, and it took me getting really sick to kind of like, no, I need to change things. I need to change things. I need to figure out how to be happier. I need to own. And I kept blaming other people. I kept blaming situations for my unhappiness. I didn't own me being unhappy. You know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't. I had to learn that. You know what? I had to choose to be happy. It didn't matter the situations or circumstances I was in. It didn't matter what people said. I could either choose to let those things drag me down, or I could choose to be happy from within myself. And that was the beginning of my journey to learning so many things, especially over the last 10 years. Because that was 10 years ago, was 275 pounds 10 years ago. You know, And 275 pounds 10 years ago, that's where I was. And this was the beginning of me trying to figure out and understand for myself how I could be healthier. I went through diets. I went through looking up what's the magic pill, what's the magic shake. You know, that I was looking for the lazy way to lose this weight, you know. And ultimately I started, you know, exploring and experimenting what worked, what didn't work, you know, and trying to get out of this anger and this bitterness and unhappiness that I had. It took a lot of work. But through all that work, I learned, look, you know what? It's your choice. You choose what you want. You choose how things are going to be. How do I feel? You know, I had to check myself every single day. And ultimately, I stumbled upon you know, just some more concepts, some more ideas that help me to understand owning the choices that I make, even down to how I feel. That's all of a choice. And I started feeling better. I started becoming better. I started envisioning myself as I was when I was healthier. You know, when I got out of high school, how did I feel back then? I felt vibrant. I felt good. I wanted to feel that way again. So I started envisioning that some more. And I learned a lot of things about health. I learned a lot of things about what my body likes and what my body doesn't like. I started becoming happier a little bit at a time. And I had to learn to appreciate more. I had to learn to have more gratitude for the small successes so I can build upon those small successes and have bigger successes. That's what I teach in my seminars. Now that I teach these, you know, I also do these seminars for health. You know,
you do seminars?
Yeah, I do.
So what, can you talk about your job? I mean, sometimes people like to keep it separate. What, I mean, maybe you can't say the company, but what exactly do you do besides acting? Because you sound like a motivational speaker.
Well, you know, and that's, thank you for pointing that out. It is something, actually, I'm aspiring to. I give seminars and presentations to various corporations and companies out there. I'm an independent contractor, and so it works very well with the acting schedule because I can, you know, come and go or take the seminar gigs or not take them as I please, depending on what, you know, film projects are. Film is going to be the first thing all the time for me. You know, the seminars, the health seminars is what I do. They'll come talk to me and they say, hey, we want you to talk to all of our employees about stress. We want you to talk to them about weight management. We want you to talk to them about heart health or any other kind of topic related to health. And when we say health, I'm not talking about just physical. I'm talking about spiritual, emotional, mental, you know, all aspects of health, just overall wellness. And so I talk to them about that. I talk to them about, you know, making choices, and I talk to them about listening to their bodies. This is a lot of what people are liking, is that they want to know how to do. They not only want to know how to do the what and the how, okay, of health, which is what pretty much all diets do out there, is just teach you the what and the how. But I teach the why. Why are you doing the things that you're doing? Why are you not doing the things you're doing? I get down to the very nitty gritty. I ask the hard questions that sometimes end up, you know, really getting people emotional. They don't like to talk about it because it hurts, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the emotional baggage. But it's what they need to face to be able to move on and move forward and progress through life and be able to thrive. They need to face the hurts that they have to deal with sometimes. But that's what I talk about, and that's what I aspire to be. I mean, I've done about 100 seminars to these corporate wellness to these companies in a corporate wellness setting. My goal, you know, one of my goals, in addition to, of course, you know, progressing with my acting career, is to be able to inspire people, and not just in corporate wellness programs, but on a broader scale. You know, you can kind of think about it like a Tony Robbins type thing, but kind of on a whole different level, okay, where I want to talk to people, I want to inspire them, I want to be able to help them to understand the power of their own decisions. Even to the small, they have power. And
yeah.
A lot of people feel that they don't have power. A lot of people feel that they don't have the ability to change their circumstance, and they do. And that's what I want to help people do, is to help them understand that they can change anything. It doesn't matter how small it is. They have power to, you know, they have power to feel what they're feeling, believe what they're believing, and create the life that they want. That's what I want to be able to do. I'm still tweaking it and honing it. I'm typing up my mission statement, typing up my purpose, but that's my general purpose, is to be able to do that. And I'm working on that too. So I'm glad that you know, for you to point out, it's not like a motivational speaker.
No, you do.
You're
really good at speaking. And the other thing I have to give you props this, because, you know, you come from another country and you come here. And I see, I'm not saying everybody here in America is lazy and stuff, and they sit and they complain about other things in other countries and stuff. And
sure.
Just from a point of view, you know, because I've been very lucky to be submersed into Asian culture through, you know, martial arts and training in Tai Chi. And
sure.
Even though I grew up Catholic, I was learning about Buddhism and other things too, and trying to become well-rounded in my circle. The thing that I have to give you a lot of props to. You speak better English than I do. I'm sitting here listening to how you sound. No, this sounds silly, but every time I was like, you really were not born here in America? Because your pronunciation, I mean, I'm from Boston. I have the Boston accent, but I'm so blown away when people say, well, I was born in another country, and I came here, and it was like, you know, your teenage years. So
yeah.
I can't even detect your accent at all. It seems like you were born here in America. And I'm like, you speak better English than I do. And I'm just like, it just blows me away how much, you know, you apply yourself. And, I mean, I'm proud of my Boston accent. I talk funny. It gets me my personality. Helps. It works for me. But when I'm sitting here, I'm like, you're such an intelligent person, an intelligent human being for what you're going through. And I know in a lot of countries, from what I've seen and learning, what they go through, and a lot of people are really poor in other countries, you come here and you're making yourself self-made. You know, you became, you know, legal citizen and all these things. And that is amazing. And you want to give back, which just blows my mind away, because I hear so many people complaining about this and that. And here you are, came from another country, applying yourself, you know, became a legal citizen, and you're helping people. And I think that is an amazing thing. You are like, maybe, I don't know what to say, because if I say a gift from God or something like that, you're like a present, and you're like a present towards other people, a gift when you're helping people, and that is a blessing. And I'm just giving you a lot of props, Ken. I appreciate that you're doing these things. So you are an amazing human being.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. You know, and this, the thing that you brought up is, you know, yeah, I was raised in another, I was born in Virginia. I already had the citizenship, but still, it's being raised in another country, in another culture, and still, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, it's almost as if I wasn't born here because, you know, I had a different mentality growing up. I had a different perspective, a different way of life, but yeah, still to come over here, because I've seen the contrast. I've seen the contrast of all the poverty. I've seen the contrast of a lot of people coming up from nothing, you know. And that's why I feel I can, you know, I feel I want to be able to help people do the same thing. There's so many programs out there. I microlending. I don't know if you're familiar with microlending, for example. That's the kind of program where, that, especially programs, those are public programs like out in Bangladesh and Pakistan and things of that nature, where you have to prove that you're poor enough to be able to loan money to so you can start a business so that you can, you know, be self-sufficient. You know, there's a lot of programs out there. There's a lot of things that I, you know, that jive with me, that things that I support, you know, those kind of programs that help people become independent, become self-sufficient. You know, through everything, you know, again, just a lot of I've gone through in my own life. Yeah, living in the Philippines, growing up there, it feels like I've lived two lifetimes there. Lots of experiences, lots of perspectives. But at the same time, I've also gone through a lot of things that have helped me grow so much that I feel like I'm able to help other people do the same thing. I clearly do not know everything, but I have enough passion and have enough. Have enough experience, I feel, that I could help other people do that same thing. Now, you know, some people look at me and you're like, well, you know, how old are you? You know, you look like you know nothing because you're or whatever. I'm older than I look. I'm gonna put it that way. Maybe off the air
well,
I'll tell
okay.
you how old I am, really.
Well, you allowed to I don't really like to ask people their age because I'm blessed where I have teachers. They're more like martial arts teachers. They're in that field where they're very educated men. And even in Hollywood, these master of martial arts, they're different teachers. But, you know, they says age is just a number. But, I mean, if you want to say your age, if you want to, you can. That's fine if you want to say your age.
You know,
I just never really asked.
Oh, no, that's fine. And that's the thing is I'll you know, it's one thing. Well, I guess I can say this, but it's one thing that I was taught in one of my classes that, you know, if a casting director ever asks your age, they're never supposed to ask it to begin with. You know, you don't divulge your age because then they're going to stereotype you as like, oh no, he's not that young, he's this old. Oh well, never mind him. You know what I mean? That's one of the things that, especially in the acting industry and the acting community, I don't put out. But at the same time, you know, I mean. Let's put it this way. My oldest is 17.
Wow. So it probably, you could be around my age. Let's just put it that way. Because
hey,
I am a lot older.
If we're putting things that way, we'll just put it that way. My oldest.
Yeah,
is
I mean, it's quite possible.
She'll be going off to college in a year. So, I guess you could say I started when I was 12.
Wow. Wow, you are the man.
Well, you know, again, this throws a lot of people off. It throws a lot of people off. But I think off air I can tell you. But, you know, it still throws people off, and they don't believe it when they see my whole family together and they see how old my kids are. My two oldest are about 5'9 and 5'10 apiece, and they look like they're in their 20s. So, you know, every time I'm walking around with my kids, it rarely is ever that, you know, hey, look, a father and his kids. It's more like, hey, look, you know, a bunch of brothers and sisters. That's pretty much what I get. And
yeah.
So my oldest makes it a point every time I'm around her. She makes it a point to call me dad every 10 seconds, just so that people know I'm her dad.
Well, that's, I guess, how kids are, but I tend to think it's like, from what I'm told, European, like Asian, it's genetics too, anything,
yep.
Especially Asian society, because looking to see, I mean, with me, I mean, I don't know, I mean, your realm might not be into martial arts and such, and I'm not trying to stereotype, because I think
sure.
Some people think Asia, martial arts, you know, but it
sure.
Seems like in other countries, in China, from what I'm learning of stuff, you know, over the years and getting to know more, Tai Chi is actually, you know, learned by, you know, it's part of a way of life, and I guess there are some parks for the elderly where they have Tai Chi and this equipment and stuff that you see that they're living longer. They're living past their hundreds, and they do Tai
yeah.
Chi as something every single day. And even, what was it, I don't know if you know anything about, like, Bruce Lee's teacher, Yip Man, whose grandson, who was, like, in his 80s, who was helping teach Donnie Yen about the role of Ip Man. And it was like he's in his 80s. And it tends to seem like with those things, that's actually a fountain of youth. And
yes.
It's hard to talk about that writing on the internet, because the art of communication, for me, it's harder for me to write instead of talking about it, you know, and speaking of it. So
sure.
The art of communication is lost on the internet for me. But talking about it, it does seem like your genes itself and how you've been taking care of yourself, and you got back on track, and that's going to make you, maybe you'll live past 100. Maybe we'll pray for that. You know, you'll be living,
you know,
and doing other things, you know.
Yeah, I mean, my genetics, I mean, you've got my mother, who's Filipino. That side of the family has got a lot of, you've got your, you know, some Italian, Spanish. Then you've got a lot of course, of Chinese and Malay stock influence.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that part of it. I'll guarantee you there's a lot of that has to do with that. On my other side, my father's side, you've got mostly Croatian there.
Mm-hmm.
Croatian, and then you've got the mix of, you know, English and Canadian and French and a whole bunch of other, you know, ethnicities on that side as well. What you mentioned was really powerful to me, you know, Tai Chi. I mean, I look at yoga. These are some of the things that I teach in the seminars that I talk about. You know,
so
stress
you
management.
Teach?
You teach
yoga or something? What do you teach?
Well, I don't teach yoga. What I mean is, in my seminars, when I teach, you know, when I teach
mm-hmm.
the health topics and health stuff, you know, I talk to people about experimenting and exploring with, you know, modalities like Tai Chi or yoga or anything else to help stress management, to help with physical and emotional well-being, you know, to help with their mental well-being. I teach people how to look towards these other modalities, these, you know, the Eastern modalities, as well as the Western, and maybe mixing the two. But I teach that because I believe so much in that. You know, and a lot of Tai Chi, I'm sure you know this, a lot of Tai Chi,
mm-hmm.
a lot of yoga, a lot of that has to do with you know, shifting your energy. You know, shifting energies and getting, you know, higher level or higher energy, or living at a higher energy level. And
mm-hmm.
that's
your
you know,
chi. That's your
yes,
chi.
Exactly.
And I heard about, like, Qigong, if I'm saying it correct.
Yep.
I know I talk funny sometimes, but it's being centered. And you are 100% right, Ken, because for the year I trained in Tai Chi, and I actually trained. I trained with Horazi Deliza, but I call him Z. It's so much easier to pronounce his name that way. I swear we actually were training under a tree of life. I'll have to post the tree afterwards again, but you know how they show in pictures the tree of life? Right? They show this big tree. I actually
yeah.
trained on a Tai Chi under a tree that just looked like a big tree of life. And we have the river there. And it was weird because I always, like, believed in God. I mean, I know everybody has a different religion, and I try not to get too religious on my show, but training in Tai Chi, I became so much more connected, and it became real, more spiritual. When I understood about being one and how everything is connected with the animals and the styles, because the styles have to do with elements and animals and everything, how it's connected. I was like, this is really real. When I was trained, I trained in another martial art in Capoeira, which is Brazilian African, and I trained that back in Boston for a couple of years. So learning, I became more spiritual, and honest to God, you know how I got into acting? I stepped into a dojo back in Boston, and it gave me self-esteem. Like, people like, you know, Shelly, you're funny. I go, oh, I'm not pretty enough to be an actress. And they go, no, you do not get this. You have this personality. And I'm going, okay. So I got into dinner theater, and I was getting paid $25 an hour. I never went to school for acting. I mean, I took a class, one class with Rex Traylor, who passed away. He was, like, from Boomtown, and it was, like, one of those non-credited things. And I just was doing, you know, acting improv, a big-haired bridesmaid during live audience in the middle of Boston in the theater district. I'm getting paid $25 an hour for doing a show, and I never went to college for it. So I go, I must be doing something right. You know, you're getting paid for something you love doing. $25 an hour, where can you go for a regular job? You know,
I know,
out here in the world getting paid $25 an hour. So I was doing that, and then I became part of another show and became an original cast member. But I had to move on. So it's like, you know, finding out there, I moved away from Boston and connecting with more people. And I think the other thing, too, with you, myself, is connecting with the people whose energies you can blend with. You really, really can blend with. And I think that's what the secret is. And, you know, with what you're doing, if you really, you know, not just with acting, anytime you need some promotion, you know, for your job or anything like that, you want me to help promote it, you want to write something up, I'll read it live on the air. You know, anything you want help, it's motivational, because my show's about love, life, inspiration. You got something to say. If you got, you know, if you ever want to be a guest on my show, not just talk about acting, you want to promote any films or anything, you are welcome to be on my show. Just let me know. I'll even, you know, I'll even post on my Facebook wall, because the show itself, we're trying to go towards syndication, which is really a good thing, because I'm getting a lot of the stunt masters from Hollywood, the people that have been around Bruce Lee, this guy Douglas Warren on the show, and other people. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he was, like, around Bruce Lee, and he trained, like, Kevin Sorbo and Lucy Lawless and Jason Scott Lee from the Dragon Bruce Lee story. So these people, I've been networking for 10 years, and believe it or not, I don't know what it is, but the people that are already self-made, that have been stunt people, they're connecting with me, and I'm like, they're supporting of me, and I'm like, these people already self-made, and I'm like, they're supporting me, the little tiny underdog from Boston, and it's like, it seems like it's given me a path to connect people like yourself, and I can feel your energy where I think it's really great, and I hope, you know, I hope maybe I will move out to Utah, and we can work together, we can work on a film, and I don't know what you're, you know, if I can build a community out there, you know, if you're into action, I don't know, like, what you're up for. If you do you have any action, do you have any fight skills at all, if you don't mind me asking?
No, absolutely. This is a great question. Now, you know, interestingly enough, okay, so obviously growing up in the Philippines, we watch kung fu movies all the time. We watch Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee. We loved it. My brothers and I loved it. We would watch, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Was it Kung Fu Theater or something like that? I'm trying to remember the name of the show.
Kung Fu Theater, yes, and it was badly dubbed. And I know it's on USA. Yes, I know all that stuff. You know, it was but the acting, you know what, it's kind of hard for me. Like, I'm trying to be careful because I am very respectful, because I know when you hear that, they're a little bit part of Asian. People that go, boom, martial arts. You must know Kung Fu. So it's like, sometimes I'm a little bit of skin, and I was afraid to ask you that quite honestly, because I didn't want to be the person of, like, have you stuck with a stereotypical thing. I just want to know, because I'm into action, and that's why I'm asking.
Perfectly fine. Because here's what happened. See, I mean, we were really interested. So my brothers and I, we took Taekwondo at first when we were, I think maybe like second grade or third grade or something like that. Okay, Taekwondo was first, and we mm-hmm. my father had he had the you know our he had our guy come over and teach us at home.
Really?
Now we took it for a bit. We got up to yellow belt or something. I'm trying to remember mm-hmm. anymore. But it only took once when my brothers and I were kind of roughhousing. You know, I gave him a good swift kick and just barely nicked him in the eye and cut his eye open.
Oh, you could kill him! Oh my God!
Right. And so my dad, you know, I was like maybe 9, and my dad was like, all right, that's it. You guys are done with Taekwondo. You're done. So that was that. Now my father, he was like, you know, we need to get you something less aggressive, more defensive or whatever. So introduced me to judo. So I started doing judo. Now, here's the thing. So, all right, sure, Dad, I'm not going to kick him. I'm just going to choke him, you know, break their bones.
You didn't.
No, I didn't, okay? I didn't. But, you know, I was being a smart aleck. So here's the thing is that I started doing judo. I really liked it. Now, what is the word? Sensei, yeah? The one who taught me judo. He was, of course, I don't remember what Dan Black Belt or whatever he was, but he was also the same coach we had in school to teach wrestling too. So he was teaching. I was on both teams, wrestling and judo. But you know, I got up to about brown belt, and
mm-hmm.
before I could go into further teachings with black belt, he passed on. So I was like, okay, well, and so I stopped at that point. But so I took about 5 years worth of judo, you know. So yeah, fight skills, that's where it lies, is judo. And then, of course, I started getting into Steven Seagal movies. I'm like, I want to learn that, man.
Oh,
didn't. okay, look. But, because, you know, I was like, man, that looks cool. It looks like he's kicking his trash with nothing, you know. And so I thought to myself, but I never got into anything else. I didn't pick up any other martial arts, unfortunately. I might get into it, you know. I think I might have to find the time to get into it again. I've been thinking about it over the years. But, you know, that's been my background for fight skills is just judo. So, you know.
Yeah, you should definitely look into that. But it's so hard because it's like, you know, stereotypical thing to look at, you know. I mean, I think you could pass off, you know, not just Asian, but it's just like I could picture you because of your height and everything. I think you really could play a lead and kick butt if you trained in that. But.
Yep.
I mean, to me, action films, I could sit here and talk all day. And it's something where, like I said, my dream, besides, you know, other things that I'm doing, would start something somewhere where there's nothing. And to connect with people like yourself before I moved to a place that's like to be in a community, I've been trying to, you know, friend people in Utah because it might be something, place I'd be interested in moving. And then just like Jackie's, you know, Jackie has a stunt team that he has to trust. He has his own men, so he uses the same people all the time because I try to talk the best I can when you're doing stunts, and it's more just about the looks because you can get killed. And with what I was doing, you know, some things I was doing, getting thrown all over the ground for my first fight scene. And when I first hit the ground, I was, you know, Z is a big guy. I mean, he's lost a lot of weight for a film called Valkyr, and he's playing Thor.
Yeah.
And he's been training harder, and I have to get into training. And he told me, because I wanted to do a fight scene, no one gave me a chance. I said, hey, listen, I'll even dress up as a man. I'll put a sock in my pants, so, you know, I'll tuck my hair underneath the hat. Give me a chance. No, I swear to God, I was going to auditions, and they go, no, they wanted to give me the slut roles. And I was like, because I was really ripped. No, I'm not kidding. This is what first happened when I started auditioning, because I was in my early 30s when I got into martial arts, and I was training at the dojo 4 to 5 times a week. And I was doing, like, a little bit of performance. It's just basic martial arts skills, but I was ripped. So when I was going to auditions, people were like, oh, take it as a compliment. You know, they're going to give you the slut and whore roles. And I'm going, that's not what I want to do. And even basic martial arts skills, I go, listen, I'm 5'8". You know, I'll dress up like a man, tuck my hair under a hat, put a sock in my pants, and I can do it. And they're like, no, they wouldn't even give me a chance. I was like, well, at least on the audition, and if I suck, I suck. You know, because I heard one time there was one big martial arts film that was being filmed. I don't know if anything happened with it back in Boston. And this guy I know is like, yeah, I auditioned for it. But what did you do? I did a punch and a kick, and he got to be an extra. And that was just to be an extra on the set. And I'm like, seriously? I mean, this is just talking about basic martial arts skills, but now it's I'm getting more into it. I still have just basic martial arts skills, but, you know, I'm the same level as other people. I'm not saying I'm the greatest or anything. I'm just an actress that likes to do a little bit of her own type of stunts. I'm not saying I'm a black belt or nothing. I don't want to give that impression or anything, but, you know, giving that little bit extra and just trying to find people who I can network with and having the knowledge and now being more promotional. And with my radio show, once it gets syndicated, you know, getting really paid for the radio show, it will give me time to figure out what else I can do. And to get into film, I can write the scripts. And since, you know, I'm an action girl, I'll know exactly how to write it for a person. I'll look at someone and I'll be like with you, Ken, saying, okay, I could write something for you. And that's how I think I would like to do scripts. You know, when people's like, Ken, I'll write a part for you, and we'll do it this way, this way, this way, and network. And that's how what I would like to bring, you know, and knowing that weapons are dangerous. You know, I just did a photo shoot with a katana blade. And I'm like, man, this thing is really dangerous. And I was like, you know, to have that in your hand, it's a responsibility to have real weapons in your hand. And you know, just knowing that, and if I get out there to Utah, maybe we can, you know, start a stunt team. I mean, if you're ever interested in it, that would be great to try to, like, you know, many different levels. I mean, what does that sound? Does that sound good?
Well, it sounds good to me. It sounds really enticing. I was on set, as a matter of fact, was it 2 summers ago, I think? There was a whole bunch of stunts going on, and there was a stunt team going, and I was quite impressed. I was like, whoa, these guys are really, really agile. These guys are really high energy. You know, and I was learning from them and stuff, and I thought to myself, my gosh, you know, and here's the thing to know as well. And I thought to myself, can I handle that kind of thing? Because over the last 20 years, I've been in 6 car accidents. You know, five of them have been head on. You know, so I'm lucky to be walking. I'm lucky to be still doing what I love to do. I play a ton of volleyball, by the way. That's my sport too, volleyball.
Oh, good.
And so that's the thing is, I still jump, and I'm lucky to be doing all that after all my accidents that I've had. But and I was looking at these stunt guys, I was like, my gosh, they're doing a lot of falls that I learned in judo, how to fall properly, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And I thought to myself, man, I would need to probably tone up a little bit better to be able to sustain a lot of the hits that they take too, you know. And so I'm interested in learning more about that as well. I mean, do I want to be a stuntman necessarily? You know, maybe I'd like to do my own stunts, kind of like Jackie does, you know?
Be a star and do my own stunts. No, I mean, no one can be like Jackie, but I think what it is you know what your limits are. You might push yourself, as an actor, you might have that little bit edge above someone else because you'll be like, when you have that extra stuff, not just acting, but the action stuff or anything else added, they're going to look and they're going, hey, you know, when we have you on set, they're going to like, oh, well, he can take a lot more than the next person. And I try to explain this to people. I says, I know people want to have maybe the gorgeous parts and stuff like that and being the beauty queen or the, you know, the gorgeous man, but you have that little bit extra. I mean, maybe casting companies look like, he's got a little extra to bring the table. Maybe that'll give you the little extra edge. So maybe training and weapons and bringing that. But it's also, once again, anything to do if you're Asian or something. It's like it's very hard because they want to typecast. And it's like,
I know it.
Man, and other things too where I've seen, this has been going on for years, and I won't get in too much in it, but it's like, you know, stuff to do like with whitewashing in films. And I'm going, so you're going to tell me that, in Hollywood, they actually, you know, they ran out of Asians to cast in a film. It was I was like, do you know how many men I know that are Asian that could do the leads for certain things? And I'm this is crazy, that are so talented and so good looking and sexy. It says, Asian men are sexy. You know, it's sitting there going, believe me, I know, because it's like, believe me, I can name off the actors. I says, how about this person and that person? I says, you're telling me you can get that person to do that well for, and I was like, okay, you know, but I mean, going back to the stunt team and stuff like that, even if I wasn't to do the stunts, but getting a team together and starting something brand new, and everybody, people could be on different levels, you know, basic to extreme, and everybody would get a part in the film. I'm not just talking about extra. If you can bring it and you bring it in there, do you know the films we could bring? I mean, I've been studying all these action films since I was little, and I know I could bring it, even if I wasn't the star, but writing parts for other people. I want to get behind the camera and says, I don't have to be the star. I want to get other people out there and just show that we can make great films together. You know what I mean?
You know, and that's, yeah, and you know, that's a great point. I mean, to be able to do that, and you talk about, you know, coming over here, and you talk about possibly looking at Utah. You know, that's the one thing you were saying about not really looking at Utah as an action film place. I mean, they do a lot of films here. There is a great group of people here. They know what they're doing, you know. You've got they've got experience on big movie sets, small to big, independent, in between, action. They do have, there's a lot of independent films here that are also action-based. And a lot of people are not aware of them. But, you know, we see them in the local film festivals that are shown here. There's a ton of local film festivals that go on here. But you've got a whole great group of film community here. You know, you got your actors, you got your crew, you got your writers. A lot of them are here, and a lot of them, you know, that's why Utah has that film incentive for films to get shot here. They try to incentivize we've got the people here. The people are already in place, and we're going to give you a great incentive for coming to film over here. And you know, there was a ton of it before, and there was a little bit of a lull in the last few years, but it's been picking up again. And and people are beginning to realize that, yeah, Utah's a great place to film. There's a lot, there's so much talent here, so much talent in the crew, in the actors, in the writers, just all of it, in the casting directors. It just and that's why you're familiar that they're building Raleigh Studios is building over here in Park City a studio. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No, see, that's what it's hard. Like, see, I know about, like, you know, Boston and New York and California, and it's something, maybe because I'm from, like, the inner cities. I'm not just talking about suburbs. I'm talking about, like, in South and East Boston and in these cities. That's where I'm from, like, in the heart of Boston. And it's just that I'm trying to open up more to the world. And, like, I know about, like, Asia and Bollywood films, like, all those, you know, like, Shah Rukh Khan.
We love
and all
Bollywood,
those
yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? I know about those really great film sets and the ideas that I have in my head, you know, to bring that somewhere where there isn't anything and finding the people, and it seems like you have this energy that I really do like and some other people, and bring it, but know there's stuff so that I don't know in Utah, but, you know, I'm starting to learn and network with people I haven't met like yourself, and I think Utah is very beautiful. I mean, the people, they're hardworking. Warren Workman, if I'm saying his name correctly,
Warren
he works
Workman.
Really hard. Yes,
he
and
does.
It's like I'm already part of a little bit of the Utah community where I got invited to go to the that. It's not a film fest, it's an awards ceremony.
Film in Utah.
And I'm like,
film in Utah,
yes,
right. Film
yes.
in Utah Awards.
And I was like, I'll be talking about that on my show when it gets closer, you know, to that. And I was like, I wanted to go last year or this year or whatever, but, you know, everything's money and stuff. And I'm hoping I'm going to be there next year to see everything because I love things like that and meeting new people and finding, you know, that difference. Is if you can get different people that are all different, sometimes all those differences can blend. Believe it or not, you can have all these quirks and all these weird things, but on a film set and on a movie, you can get that to blend really magically. And that's what I look for in people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a strong, strong chemistry here with people doing that. They get together and they work well. It's, you know, different people all over the place, and they work well. And it's just the character of every movie, the every project, you know, the chemistry of the people when they get together, just the magic they make is just absolutely amazing. And that's something here that, you know, that's I don't know how many on the Facebook pages, I don't know how many of the groups you belong to that are Utah film-based, but there's about, I think there's about six or seven of them.
There's one of them. It's like, I try not to, like, I'm afraid to almost join or write because the problem I have, I'm trying to learn how to write better, and it's like, I try so hard, and like I said, the odd communication is lost on the internet when I write, and I don't know if it's the, I have a little bit, and I'm not using it as a crutch, I'm trying to better myself. I recently found out I have a little bit of autism, and it's something where I'm repeating myself sometimes, and people notice that, and it's like it's a focus factor, and I blank out. So when I'm on the internet, I try to write the best I can, and people are taking it as the wrong way, as if I'm being conceited. It's like I'm sharing my joy. Like I write about my film brother, Jay Giannoni, and because I'm happy. It's like, oh, he's doing all this stuff, and he's where I'm from, and it's my happiness I'm trying to show, and people are like, well, you're coming off conceited. And I'm like, huh? And I get very confused when people are coming at me. I'm like, no, that's not what I mean. I'm not trying to be conceited, because he came from a horrible place. His father was murdered, and, you know, he worked from, you know, he was sleeping on the couch. I mean, he became friends with Mark Wahlberg, and he went on tour and stuff with them, and he's like, he's out there, and he really works really hard. And I'm going, you know, and I try to write, because he took, like, Leonardo DiCaprio under his wing for The Departed, and he's doing all this stuff. And I talk about him because he was very kind to me, and at a very low point in my life, I always talk about this, like, I had wanted to commit suicide at a point in my life. And at the point, I was really going to take a knife from the kitchen, and I called him. Something told me to call Jay. He was out there at a baseball game in California, and I was like, you know, I was crying my eyes out, and I just stopped, and he had no idea. And, you know, he's working on Hollywood film sets, and I'm not saying extra, but I called him. I says, do you think it's possible I can work with Jackie Chan? Because everybody else was yelling, saying, I can't do that. He didn't wait a minute. He did not make fun of me. And this is a man that works on Hollywood film sets. He goes, yeah, it's possible. You just got to work for it. So because of that, that's why I do a fan page for him and do all these things and talk about him, because he inspired me. But every time I go to try to write, people are thinking I'm coming off conceited and stuff. And it's like, no, that's not what, I'm just excited. I'm overzealous about things. So it's very hard, and I'm almost afraid to join, you know, places in Utah, because I don't feel maybe I'm not intelligent enough to talk with different people. So it's really hard. And I'm like, You see what I'm saying? It's so hard for me to write on the internet. I'm like, I'm trying to share my joy, and that's all I'm doing.
And the thing of it is that you express yourself very well verbally, and you know, to translate from doing that to, from verbal to writing, I mean, I can relate to that, because I had to learn to do that too. But I think for me, the thing of it is that I had to keep talking to people. I had to keep writing and corresponding with people, like, you know, email, or through letters, or through texts, so that I could practice, and so that I could, you know, like if I was going to be writing to my sister or my brother, or or other friends, you know, in texting and in emailing, I felt that if I could communicate myself well enough, then, and I would ask, does that make sense? And that's usually, you know, how I kind of talk in my seminars too. I'll tell people, you know, I'll say, if I'm explaining a concept, I'll tell them, you know, I'll explain the concept, and I'll say, no, does that make sense? And if everyone's like nodding their heads, and I say, do you have any questions? I usually ask that question all the time. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions? And sometimes people will say, no questions. And I wonder to myself, okay, are there no questions because, you know, because I've explained it perfectly? Or are there no questions because they're bored with me? Sometimes I have to wonder.
Yeah.
But you know, then I get, after the seminars usually, I'll get people coming up to me and saying, you know what, that was great. I love what you said. It resonates very well with me. And so I feel like, okay, I guess I'm communicating well enough. But I had the same problem earlier on where I didn't feel too confident about my writing skills. So I would, you know, practice writing to people, and I would, you know, make sure I was being understood, and I would kind of use them as a guinea pig and say, okay, am I being clear enough here? How can I make this more clear? You know, and I got better that way. I got better that way, but it took a while. It took a while. So I completely understand. You know, the thing of it is that in the film community, again, you've got, you know, in any community, in any group of people, you're going to have people who are the haters, or the ones who are kind of are going to kind of get after you and stuff anyway. And I kind of give them no power, you know, just because, you know, if their point isn't valid, I don't say that I don't take criticism. I'll take whatever people have to say, and I'll listen to it. And if there's something that I feel that is, you know, I need to change, I'll change it. feel that they're just getting on me because out of, you know, if maybe there's a problem that they have with me, maybe they don't like me, maybe because I remind their ex-brother-in-law who they hate, you know, or maybe, or whatever the case, whatever the reason.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh no! It looks like the call dropped 10. If you're you just give a call back in. Oh, let's see. His call must have dropped, so I'm just gonna send a message. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit technical difficulty here. Hold on. I'm trying to get Ken back on the phone here. Ken, call back in. You dropped. I don't know. Maybe he could be traveling around in a car. So, ladies and gentlemen, I will get him back on the phone. Let's see. I think this is him right now.
I'm right here. Okay. We did drop.
Okay,
I am traveling around.
Sure.
No, that's okay.
I'm almost.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm
almost at my place. That's okay. I'm almost at the place I need to be, so I can talk for probably another minute or two. But
okay. I mean, we've been on it for, you know, I can't believe how fast the time has gone by, and I'd love to have you as a guest on the show because, you know, we could talk for, you know, forever. And anytime you need promotion for anything, whether it's for a film you're doing, for your work, or whatever it is, just get a hold of me. I'll try to, you know, if you want something, if it's like, you know, commercialized, if you can write something for me, I can read it on the air for you, whatever it is, just get a hold of me. And, you know, who knows, maybe I'll make the move out to Utah and we could start something really big from scratch there, get
you
people
bet.
Involved. That would be really
awesome. And, you
awesome.
Know, and likewise, if there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. I mean, you know, this is helping each other out is exactly the vision I have of a beautiful world, you know, is people helping each other, people seeing where there's a need and not being afraid to ask either, you know. So definitely, you know, expect that from me as well if you need anything.
Yeah, and I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for, you know, being a guest on my show. I enjoyed our time here. I hope, you know, if there's God in heaven there, I hope you become, you know, very successful in anything you do. And another thing with the Utah community, I am so glad I became a little bit open-minded because I am seeing that the Utah community is a beautiful community that are very talented people. So I'm glad I kept an open-minded because it's like, here, I wouldn't be having you on my on my show here. You're very talented, very intelligent, and, you know, I wish you much blessings, you know, with your family, your acting, your job, especially if you're going to be like a motivational speaker. I hope you live a long, healthy life because you're helping people.
I've had a lot of people say the same to me, and I appreciate that you say that as well. But, you know, it's been an honor to be here. It's been an honor to speak with you, to interact with you. It's been quite fun, actually. I love talking about a lot of these things. So, again, anytime you want to invite me, I'd love to be on your show again, too.
Oh, good. I'll set up another time for you and have you on the show. And once again, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
All right. You have a good day as well.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, right there, people. It just goes to prove you got to be a little bit open-minded nowadays because there are great things coming out of Utah. I know they say the Sundance Film Festival and other things, but like in any community with the independent film community, there are great people that are coming out of Utah. And I hope I do get some other people from Utah on my show. It'll be real great. I have a little bit of lineup Wednesday night. One of my film brothers, if you go to my Facebook page, you might see him carrying me around like a sack of potatoes. Brother Bill McLean, I think his middle name is Freight Train because that is his film company. We have this very, this picture where he's always carrying me like a sack of potatoes on film sets. So you can go to check out my page, Shelly Kama Nunchucks. And also next Sunday, Carlos Segwa. I think that's how to say his name. He's a bodybuilder I've known for quite some time now, and about bringing him on a show where he's gotten he's won this challenge. It was a 50-cent challenge where he actually, you know, built his body up, and I'm trying to break through the myths without, you know, people that are bodybuilders that don't use steroids. And the guy's getting really big, and it's actually from eating and, you know, just working out. So he's going to be on my show next Sunday, and I'll have a schedule. Like I said, I'm trying to get more and more people on my show, and I just want to say anybody that has a dream out there, whatever it may be, if you're trying to get into acting or anything, all you got to do is try. You can look up your local casting company, join, you know, a community theater. Maybe you're not going to be a star per se, but if you get a chance to do part of your dream, that's part of your heart, part of your passion. You know, get on a film set, take it from there. Like with me, first film set I got on was The Game Plan, which was with starring The Rock, and I started meeting people there. I didn't get a starring role, but having a little bit of interaction with The Rock, hubba, hubba, hubba. That's all I got to say. Would I work on a set with The Rock again? Yes. And you all know my dream. My dream is to work with Jackie Chan. And, you know, it's my dream. It might be outrageous or whatever. And at this point, even just to be on a set, to see how Jackie Chan works, I know it's very critical and very hard work to do in your own stunts, because as of right now, a film that I've been working on, Valkyrie, I am a leading Valkyrie, and Director Z will be playing Thor. Oh, gosh. It's a lot of work. Even filming in the winter, last winter, with snow up to our knees, it is very, very hot. It was below zero with the wind chill factor. If anybody, you know, interested in donating to Falcare, please get in contact with Paige. I'm not the one doing the donations, but we really need your help. And to let you know, everybody that's involved in Falcare, we are going to be doing our own stunts and fight scenes. We were taking horseback riding lessons and everything, and even to do the training with the weapons, that's going to take a lot of work, and we're halfway done with the film. So if anybody would like to help us out, we do need your help in the funds. And you can just go to Falcare, F as in Frank, A-L-C-Y-Y-R, and to play a lead of superhero, let me tell you, I'm busting my butt. Doing the radio show, I work a regular full-time job. I do it Monday through Thursday. I work up to 10 hours a day. Doing this radio show, I've been doing this radio show for over a year now, and I feel very, very blessed, because now the people that I've looked up to my whole life, a lot of people in Hollywood, the guys, the stuntmen, the ninjas, the ones that I've looked up to on those films, I watched as a little girl, I'm now contacting them. My ninja pal, Stephen Lambert, oh, my gosh, he's worked with people like Robert De Niro. He doubles for James Woods and many people. And, you know, just to be able to sit and talk with Stephen on the phone, I just feel blessed, and he's really down to earth. And then I connected with Douglas Wong, who trained people like Kevin Sorbo for Hercules, and Douglas also trained Lucy Lawless for Xena, helped with Jason Scott Lee for Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, and Douglas was around during Bruce Lee and many other people, and he does seminars, and other people like Johnny Krang, he was one of the first fun guys on my show, and he was on set fighting Jet Li. I've had him on my show, and, you know, he actually interviewed Jackie Chan, and I'm sitting here going, man, these guys are talking to me, you know, these self-made men. Here I am, the little guy, the underdog, like Rocky, female Rocky from Boston, and they're talking to me, and I'm like, I'm so, wow. And there's even another guy that he's a stunt guy. I don't know how much stunts he does. I mean, he's you know, I like getting these people on my show to preserve history for future generations. He's 85 years old. Yes, people, this man, John Hagner, I spoke with him yesterday, 85 years old. Oh, yeah, he's also from Utah, too. He's doing stuff still, and he's 85 years old. Man, oh, man, I hope I'm like this guy when I get to be 85 years old. Oh, man. I mean, he's even older than Jackie Chan, and he's doing stuff. Well, Jackie, you know, Jackie's going to be doing stuff, I think, until well into his 100s. But, you know, just to be able to have these these masters, these people that are self-made people in Hollywood sitting there talking with me, my jaw is to the floor. And when I see, especially Stephen Lambert, he's posting all these pictures on his page, and I'm going, you were in that? I've seen them that, and, you know, him being part of American Ninja, this cult classic. I'm just like, Stephen, how many things have you been in, you know, that I've seen in the movies and TV and everything? It's just amazing. He keeps posting these pictures, and I'm like, my jaw is to the floor. Every time I see a new picture with Stephen Lambert, I'm going, you were so into that picture, too? No way. No way. I feel like a little girl talking to these men. I feel like, you know, I just feel so refreshed and so blessed to be able to speak to these guys. And, you know, I'm just very thankful. I am so thankful today, you know, just be able to do my passion. And I just hope I'm motivating other people out there. Because I think when you're not into acting or anything like that, people are like, no, I couldn't do that. Believe me, that's what I thought so too. Come on, listen to how I talk. I talk really funny, right? I mean, come on, I got the Boston accent going on. I talk real funny. I'm half Italian, half Irish, whatever else. I'm a mixed mutt. But come on, me getting to acting, come on, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, you just, like I said, you just get up. You know, be careful about the things on Craigslist. But if you're on the East Coast, there is a couple of people that you can get in contact with. And I've worked, you know, it's nothing to pay. I'm telling you straight out, you do not have to pay. I mean, it's good to take classes and stuff. You want to be part of some casting companies, bostoncasting.com. Join that. They have an agency pro, but you will get emails to get on set. Maybe it's extra work, but you're actually getting paid to be on set. If you want to just at least check it out, bostoncasting.com. Jody Purdy, SouthShoreCasting.com. If you, Jody, J-O-D-I, Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y. I know Jody, and she is really awesome. You can write to her, South Shore Casting. She just started another page, so you can check her out, and, you know, you say, hey, Shelly Munchucks mentioned, you know, her on the air. You can go and say, you know, can you tell me a little bit about it? And she's been working about 30 years in the business. And these are real people, real casting companies. You do not have to pay. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't have an agent. I'm not in SAG. I mean, you'll have to ask other people. I just know what works for me for now. Maybe someday I might become SAG or something. But, you know, you'll have to ask those experts about that. But as far as getting to start, at least I can point you in that direction. You do not pay a cent unless, you know, you're going to go for classes and coaches. But to get on a film set, to get a paid paycheck, go check out Joey Purdy. This, like I said, it's East Coast, in Boston. LDI Casting, Carol, I think Carolyn Pickman, I think that's her name. I think she has to do with LDI Casting. L is in Larry, D is in David, I is in Ice Cream. casting.com. I think that's in Rhode Island. So those are some casting companies. If you're on the East Coast, want to at least try just to see how it is to feel like to be on a real movie set and to get paid. You're an extra. I mean, granted, you might be there 12 to 14 hours for the day as an extra, but at least you can say, hey, I at least worked on a movie. You may not be the star, but that's your chance to at least start somewhere. It doesn't matter, you know, what your shape is, what your race is, what you sound like. Of course, some roles, they want certain people, but there's so many characters out there. I mean, come on. Once again, listen to my accent. I'm sitting talking. I talk really funny. So if I can get parts, come on, people, you can too. And I bet a lot of people you out there are really highly intelligent and speak really prim and proper. You guys can do it too. Come on. Crazy Shelly Munchucks here. If I can do it, you can too. And so, let's see, what time is it? Wow, wow, does the time go by fast. And my little co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty, she was such a good kitty. She wasn't attacking me today. You guys don't even know. You don't even know what this cat does to me when I'm actually, when I'm broadcasting. She'll chew on me. She'll smack me and stuff, but she's laying here all content. She's good. She's a good kitty. And, you know, once again, about my cat, she was actually a stray cat that showed up in my backyard. Next thing you know, she's in my place here, and I have a cat. Yeah, I don't know how Jackie thinks, but Jackie Chan just named the cat after Jackie Chan. So I have a cat named Jackie Chan Kitty. Only me. Only Shelly Nunchuk. Yes, 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 yes. But anyway, anybody that would like to, you know, be a guest on my show, you can get in touch with me on Facebook. And I look to see that you would write to me your bio. You send that to me. Contact telephone number. Don't put it publicly on my wall. You write to me privately. I have a little bit of lineup, and I'm trying to get to everybody as best as I can because there are a couple people that asked to be on my show, so I will try to get to each and every person. I'm trying very hard here, and we'll have a lineup. So, you know, look forward to new guests, and I'm just very, very excited and looking forward to the next year to come, see who's going to be on my show, and I just feel very, very blessed. And I'm actually, you know, I'm going to get up and get away from the computer because I took my shower before my show. I know, ladies and gentlemen, usually I wait to take a shower until after my show. So this means I'm going to literally get up away from the computer, get dressed, and go outside. Yes, it's a beautiful day. Maybe I'll have to take that picture of the Tree of Life. If there's nobody hanging around there where I trained in Tai Chi, maybe I'll have to take some pictures today. We shall see. You know, go out, get a cup of coffee, enjoy life. It's beautiful outside. It's a wonderful, wonderful world. Anyway, just remember, anybody that has a dream, you are as good as anybody else. Now, I am going to end the show with a very positive song that I truly take to heart because it is actually part of a song that's going to be in a film that I'm doing called Valkyra, playing a Valkyrie, and it's called Battle Song. It's by Pisces Project. It is Director Z, Ahura Decor DeLisa, and his beautiful, lovely wife, Samari. They work together as a team at Unicorn Cold. It is a medical physical, and other things, martial arts, and many different things here in Maine. So, as you know, a song can set the mood to a film. And I think when we're doing our big battle scene, this song will be playing. And I hope everybody can get the feel for it. For me, being the underdog that I am, I never thought, never dreamed, even a few years ago, that I would be doing any of this. Never thought. So if I can do it, I just hope anybody out there that's not having a good day and you're listening to me, just remember, you are as good as anybody else. And everybody, enjoy your Sunday. And I remember, Wednesday night, Bill, Freight Train McLean, one of my bros that carries like me like a sack of potatoes on film sets, will be Wednesday night, and Carlos is next Sunday. And we are going to have fun on my show. So anyway, everyone, have a good Sunday. Bye-bye.